numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN where sports betting lives. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network's Gil Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. How you doing, man? You look a little flustered this morning, all right?
I'm good. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Chill, man. It's Friday.
It's Friday. We are, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to try, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, we're going to try to set the modern day record for most sports where we provide bets for on 1 2-hour radio program.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You and I have done several shows like this before.
We have.
But
they come up every so often.
We're all over the map today.
We keep a running count because we could get up to 9 or 10 plus an Oscars bet. Could go that way. We'll talk UFC 299 with Jordan Sherwood, our old buddy from the Unnamed MMA podcast. Obviously, with Sean O'Malley on the main event. He's got thoughts. Dustin Poirier on that card as well. Al Bernstein will talk boxing with us. Not Tyson Paul. I don't even know if I want to embarrass Al by even asking about that.
I don't know either. Like people, it's like a real thing, though. It's like a thing.
Yeah.
But, like, my brain can't believe that. You know what I mean?
But Ngannou Joshua, that's what I'll be asking
about. Yes, which is today, right?
Plus, there's an undercard that he wants to talk about also. Yeah. So we'll get into that, or a fight on the undercard that we'll get to. Chris Felica, he's got an Oscars play. He's got soccer. He's got horses. I don't know what he has.
It's Felica.
It's a potpourri. Potluck. Jason Weingarten, that's always potluck, from under a cloud of smoke. Adam Berg, college hoops, obviously with conference tournaments in full swing. Maybe extract a baseball play from him, and Paul Carr on soccer a little later on. Jesus.
A lot. We got a lot.
Yesterday, as I mentioned, top of the show yesterday, went to the West Coast Conference opener, Pepperdine Pacific. And I mentioned on the show, if you listen to the show long enough, you know I've had two very strange college basketball tie-ins for all these years. First, it was Ty Jerome. I don't know if you go back to on this show this far back, but Ty Jerome, I wasn't friends with his dad, but I had a mutual friend with his dad. And so I was talking about Ty Jerome, like when he was, I was like, he's in 10th grade. I was like, he's a kid. And he ends up in Virginia. They end up getting smoked by UMBC as a as a one seed by a 16 seed. Then they win the national title the next year. And Ty Jerome is huge as integral part of that. And then I am great buddies with Wes Millett. Wes Millett is Houston Millett's dad. I've known Houston since he's a little kid. He's played for Pepperdine here the last 3 years. So I always go to every time Pepperdine comes for the West Coast Conference tournament, I go to all the Pepperdine games. And so yesterday, no different. And I mentioned, even though Houston's out with a knee injury, they should probably be able to take care of Pacific. Well, did they? It was 26-0. I started getting texts. What's the record for the biggest start to any college basketball game ever?
Great question.
I had to, Parles text me. He goes, what's the record? I was like, oh, why don't you look it up yourself? So it's 44-0. It's Southern. Southern did it apparently like Parles. In 2013. He's like doing his show. I was like, why don't you do your own research? 44-0 in favor of Southern back in the day. So they came, Pepperdine did 18 points shy of matching that yesterday. But then it was 39-2. It was 52-9 at the half. That was a big deal for us. We're like holding the single digits. Let's see what's going on here. Anyway, Pacific ends up getting crushed by Pepperdine, 102-43. And the tie-in here is that, first of all, I got a lot of folks who were like, oh, I saw you on TV. If they had randomly just placed the camera on anybody in the crowd, you might have caught me, because it's only friends and family there. It might have been 100 people. I'm not good at counting in that kind of group.
Yeah, me either.
But literally, there was no paying fan that had no connection to either team.
Yeah.
But at the game, I happened to run into Matthew Holt, who works for U.S. Integrity,
of course. Okay.
And, you know, we said our hellos and our pleasantries. And then as this game was just getting ridiculous, I thought in my head, I said, oh, when I go up the stairs and I run into Matthew again, I'll make some quip like, hey, you probably should check on these Pacific guys. You know, just as a joke. Not that they just, Pacific didn't.
They can't make a basket.
There wasn't anything wrong with the betting activity. They just are not good at basketball.
They were just ungood last night.
They're ungood. Yeah, yeah. That's right. But Matthew was gone. he had left. And I don't know if it was because the game sucked so bad or perhaps he had gotten called away.
But had work to do.
And had work to do at U.S. Integrity. And the reason for that, in case you missed it, UAB and Temple had a game yesterday. There was all kinds of weird outcomes in college. I mean, there's blowout central. There were low scoring games. Such a weird day in college basketball. But in case you missed it, the UAB Temple game was flagged for unusual betting activity. That game actually was. An American Athletic Conference official confirmed to Sports Illustrated, U.S. Integrity monitors betting activity for sports teams and sports books. They sent an alert to operators about the game. And really, it was captured while this was happening, all that unusual betting activity, on VSiN Primetime yesterday with Tim Murray, Jonathan Von Tobel, and their guest, James Patrick Root from Three Man Weave.
But I want to start with this. Normally I wouldn't, but you brought this to our attention, and this is really fascinating from just a betting perspective. UAB is playing Temple tonight. There's nothing really fascinating about that matchup. However, this game has gone from UAB minus 2.5 up to UAB minus 7 or 7.5, which is at DraftKings right now. And there really isn't any reason to this move, right?
No, there's not. It got all the way to 8 during the day. It just progressively kept going up. And that's the kind of move where I see it and I start looking into it. I'm like, all right, what's going on here? Who on Temple's out? UAB doesn't have anybody coming back. So there's not like that would be contributing to it. And there's nothing. There's nothing we can find here. I've had a couple of these. Look, I'm not going to say this is point shaving, but in my betting career, I've seen a couple of these where like truly no injury that I can find. And a couple times I've tried to come in on the other side because I'm like, my number says it should be down by 3 where it opened. My number. And then it never ends well. So the fact that there's been some buyback on the 8, I'm at least encouraged by that. There are some smart people that think this is fishy and are going the other way. But there's a game earlier this year where Temple versus Memphis. Memphis got bet for no reason. Temple didn't have any injuries. So it's weird to see it a second time with Temple. This is bizarre. It is not a normal happening in the market, especially this late in the season.
Jimmy Root all over it.
All over it.
All over it, including citing an earlier Temple game this year. By the way, UAB wins this game yesterday by 28, 100-72. And, you know, we don't usually have these stories on a daily, a weekly, even a monthly basis. Sometimes we go a year. We don't even talk about anything like this. So it's interesting. It's one of those things where it's like, if you have free time today and you had access to UAB Temple, might be a pretty interesting watch through the lens of, anything nefarious happening here at all? Nothing has been adjudicated of any kind.
Right.
Just alerts.
So, yeah, I know. It's interesting. I did see a couple notes from people yesterday. I mean, it's crazy. We always got to be careful speculating on stuff like this. But
you never know.
Eli Hershkovich, I know, put out a tweet just citing the rebounding numbers. Like Temple was out rebounded 41-19,
and rebounding is largely effort.
Yes. Yeah. Like at no matter what level you're talking about,
I don't know. Wait, who knows? Who knows?
It's just it would be crazy if this was actually a thing, especially in today's day and age, right? Yeah. Where you have Matt Holton, U.S. Integrity flag something like that.
Yeah.
We're doing shows on this network where the great James Patrick Root is coming on and talking about it before the game's even starting about the crazy line.
And you got to be locked in to notice that, like in terms of not to notice the crazy line movement, but to with such conviction say that there is no explanation for this. And oh, by the way, this happened again earlier in the year.
Right. And my point is just like the accusation here would be that Temple is point shaving or something. Right.
Yes.
But with today's day and age where you have U.S. Integrity before the game, Jim Root on the network before the game.
Yeah.
If you were a player on that team still going through with that plan, it seems a little outlandish.
But these college kids, you know, the other way to look at it, and you're right, we don't know. Yeah. We don't know. But the other way to look at it is with 300 plus D1 college basketball schools, what are the odds that this doesn't happen ever?
No, sure.
Very slim,
sure,
right?
Sure. Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that was the big story of the day there. It was just so random that I ran into Matthew Holt at the game, and then when he was gone by the end.
I didn't know where you were going with that at the beginning. That is random. Matt Holt, awesome, does great work with U.S. Integrity. Obviously, if you've been a longtime VSiN listener, viewer, you used to see him on our network regularly.
All the time, yeah. The other thing, Russell Wilson, for the one football bit of news yesterday, Russell Wilson met with the Steelers yesterday, or the Steelers have shown interest. Did he have an actual meeting? I don't want to get that straight.
There's been a meeting set with the Steelers for him to have conversations.
There you go. So that, of course, affected the line in terms of Russell Wilson's next team. Not by much, but it did tick up on the Steelers to -300. The Raiders fall to 4-1. Everybody else falls. Vikings +450. Falcons 5-1. The Falcons, of course, rumored to be most interested in Kirk Cousins. What do you think? Russell Wilson to the Steelers. I'm sure the Steelers feel, if in fact this happens, a meeting does not mean he's being signed, but let's just say it goes through. I'm sure the Steelers feel that the improvement from Pickett / Rudolph / Trubisky, that production, to Russell Wilson is enough to get them into the playoffs. They obviously would feel that way if they went through with this. Do you agree with that?
And it just feels like Russell Wilson to the Steelers makes about the least sense of all these quarterbacks that we're discussing to me.
Russell Wilson to blank make sense?
I think it's the weird ones, like you said, like the Raiders. I think he makes a ton of sense in Minnesota if Kirk Cousins leaves.
Why doesn't he make sense in Pittsburgh to you?
Just because I think that, I don't know why I would want to bring in, and I mean, I don't have much belief in Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph, but it sounds like that team still does have a little bit of that. And if they do, Gil, where they're at in that division, fine, try it with the young guys. You know what you have with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, though, I mean, you're right. As recently as 3 days ago, they were acting like they were still interested in having Kenny Pickett be their guy. If they feel like they're on the doorstep of a postseason in maybe the toughest division in football,
right,
then I can understand why they feel
compelled to do this. Depends how they feel, for sure.
We'll see how they feel about this, but a slight move towards the Steelers just on the report of a meeting. We'll come back. NBA. We got a debate to show you about Defensive Player of the Year next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the grapefruit and cactus leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer? This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continue all season long with our VSiN experts' World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer is basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Bet the MLB smarter this year. Download the free MLB betting primer now for free at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at BD the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Cashflow Sports. The highlight of watching that game yesterday was catching a random shot of Gil in the crowd on the broadcast. Like I said, if they had flashed it on anybody randomly, I might have had a good shot of getting in it because there's only 100 people there. But it wasn't me. It was my buddy Wes. Is the athletic director at UC Riverside, in addition to being Houston Millett's dad, so I just happen to be sitting next to him.
You know what's really frustrating for me personally about that is I thought about it at like 4:00. I was like, oh man, like I need to turn on that game, and I like forgot I was doing it. Like I had golf on a TV and then forgot to flip it on. Because I wondered what were the chances that you would be seen in the crowd. Yeah. Well, we discussed yesterday there weren't going to be many people there.
One other thing I should say about that game, though, is like, first of all, Lorenzo Romar did end up coaching this game, even though he's fired at the end of the year, right? He's done. He's just playing out the string. One team played for their fired coach. The other team didn't. Romar kept the starters in up 52. I'm like, you're in a tournament. You got a game tomorrow, meaning today. Get the starters out, man.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Ajayi's in there like with 4 and 5 minutes left. I'm like, please, just get him out. You have a game tomorrow. Come on.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, man.
Did they bring enough players?
They got a bunch of like,
that. That's cool. Up 50? What are you doing?
I think they're live today. This is from, the Better Life, Tim Lawson. How about a soccer pick? He goes, I can only assume someone today will mention the start of USL Championship season tomorrow. Someone will probably mention how Jose Bautista's new ball club, newly bought club, the Las Vegas Lights, are a live dog at +450. There you go. Listener bet from Timmy Lawson. Thank you, buddy. This is from Joby. I listened back and had to laugh at your quick reference yesterday to the new cast in the Jardian cinematic universe. I, too, agree with your assessment that like when Spider-Man changed from Tobey Maguire to Andrew Garfield, something is off. Totally. Don't change the Jardiance girl on me without warning.
There are multiple versions of that commercial. Of what's the other one? Sky Rizzy. Like these. Like how well do those sell? Like I can only imagine for how much money that they have for marketing.
No idea. But I was getting very attached to the old Jardiance girl. Jack at Jack 1477-0548. The Edwards game last night, the Edwards game saving block, defensive player of the year voters. Listen to this. It's a great joke. I was going to make a version of this, but he beat me to it. Defensive player of the year voters were like, did you see Gobert clear the lane so Edwards could make that block? I love you for that comment. Love you. By the way, what he's referring to, Anthony Edwards scored 44 last night on the heels, by the way, of Carl Anthony Towns announcing that he's going to get surgery, or he didn't announce it, but the team did, that he's going to get surgery, could be back towards the beginning of the Western Conference playoffs. We'll see on the meniscus.
Well, and the beginning of that game, too, it was like first play.
Anthony Edwards
goes down. I was watching it. I was like, oh my gosh, this whole thing just fell apart in front of our eyes so quickly.
Back to back like that.
And then because I think he ended up going to the locker room twice in the first half.
Yeah, he comes back and he scores 44. And then it's 113. What was it? 113-111. And at the buzzer, Pacers are coming down court. Aaron Nesmith to the rack. And Anthony Edwards, he later says, I've never jumped that high in my life. He makes a spectacular block to seal the game.
Yeah, missed shot down at the other end by him, right? That would have basically sealed it because it would have put him up four.
Yep.
And then they go down racing down the other end. He chases down, makes the block. It was all-time effort play. He is so fun to watch, Gil. And honestly, with Carl Anthony Towns out of the way, you're going to see a whole lot more of Anthony Edwards here over the next few weeks, wherever long he's out.
But Jack 1477-0548 or whatever you are, that is the best joke of the morning, because I've been ranting about how it's ridiculous, the defensive player of the year, how, you know, everybody just has given it to Rudy Gobert because he's the best defensive player on the best defense. And nobody even wants to have the conversation that Victor Wembanyama's defensive stats are better than his in almost every way. It's ridiculous. And I've gone at it at every angle, not only the raw stats, but when you take Wembanyama out of the Spurs lineup, what happens, including last night, when you take Gobert out, that the T-Wolves don't really fall off because he's got teammates that are great on defense too. Anyway, what do you know, Kelly? There's a podcast that features Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson. Road Trippin' Podcast. Pardon me, the Road Trippin' Podcast. And what do you know? They happen to have a spirited debate about it as well.
I'm not giving Defensive Player of the Year because he gets a lot of blocks to the worst team in the league.
They're 24th. It's not his fault. It's not his fault.
Stop saying that the best player on the team, it ain't always his fault. I'm not saying that they're a good team, but why are we going to give him a award? We're going to give him Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year when, again, Chet Holmgren's on the number one seed. Minnesota has Rudy Gobert. They're the number two seed. And it's like, well, look at his number.
Rudy is playing with Jaden McDaniels. We're playing with Jaden McDaniels.
Come on, bro.
Rudy Gobert is playing with 2.5 all-stars.
Thank you.
Gobert is a certified
fine.
Wow. You guys,
they go on for several more minutes, yes.
And a lot of beeps would have been necessary if we kept going, too.
Yes, yeah. Wyatt Tomchek, good job.
So that's Richard Jefferson. Yeah, by the way, good nice job, Wyatt, because that could have been the end of us. Richard Jefferson is the one taking up Gobert is absolutely the guy. And what are we going to do? Give him Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year? Both talking about Wembanyama, and Channing Frye, the voice of reason, as far as I see it, is the one taking the Wembanyama side of things. Anyway, where it is currently in the market, Gobert minus 750, Victor plus 750.
I think, though, that that's for things that you've clamored for. To hear from people.
I have clamored.
That was at least a great example of where this race is currently at, where you have two former NBA players, high-level NBA players, maybe one known for his defense a little bit more than the other, arguing about who should be the leader, you know, in this award category.
Yes, because so, all I said was I have a preseason bet on Wembanyama. I just couldn't believe that no one was even willing to have the conversation mm-hmm. about it. And now we are seeing people are finally getting the sense, some with cursing, to have the conversation about it.
I mean, Richard Jefferson is fire. If you have plenty of time, you can go watch. There's about three more minutes of that conversation. I just didn't want to keep going back to. But it is, I mean, Channing Frye making all the points that you've tried to make, right? It is, okay, yeah, like, Rudy Gobert's on a great team, great defensive team. There are multiple other guys around
them. That's why my man's joke on Twitter was so great.
I mean, it is, you have between Mike Connolly, Jaden McDaniels, like, you have guys that have been high level defensive players in this league before on that team. So I get it. I get it. It's just tough because we never see this. I mean, it's just something we never see. So I get it. It's tough.
The other game of note in the NBA yesterday, well, there are other games of note, but the biggest one, of course, was the Celtics-Nuggets game, where Celtics fall short again against the Nuggets. Jokic with a 32-point triple-double, messed around, 32-point triple-double, 115-109 in favor of the Denver Nuggets. And I am certainly not the only one to have said this, but I have certainly said a couple times already since coming back from vacation, boy, is it going to be awkward when the Celtics lose in the playoffs for some of y'all who think this is the championship team. I just don't think they are.
It's the test. I mean, this is the test for them, right? It's over and over again. It's in the big time moments. Can your big time, your two star players show up and finish a game?
And Jason Tatum is not having as good of a season this year as he has in previous seasons. Like, that's also part of this. So the notion that he could somehow turn it on, he's like actually diminished a bit this year. And then, of course, there's always the Porzingis injury, you know, wonder as well. Might that come? But that's obviously more hypothetical. Odds to win MVP, Jokic -170, Shea at +250. That's actually a tick in the direction of Jokic by about 10 cents in each direction.
Yep.
Jokic to the positive, Shea Gilgeous a little longer. Luka remains at 7-1, Giannis at 16-1. And there is Jason Tatum, by the way, at 25-1. Jason Tatum is not the MVP. Stop it. Anybody betting that? Kelly will happily take your money.
Yeah, I will. I will. Yes. That was. I'm glad you put it that way too. Because when I was typing these back up this morning, that was the most shocking thing to me. I know he had got bet down to this because I think there's just been the random nationwide group think of, oh, they're the best team in the league. Who's the best player on the best team in the league? Let's bet him for MVP. It's absurd that he's even in this conversation because, again, Gil, because I'm gonna keep beating the drum for this. We're watching one of the greatest MVP races in the history of the NBA with what these guys are doing night to night. And I'm talking all four of them, but especially those top three guys. Luka, 30-point triple-double. Nikola Jokic, 30-point triple-double. Every single night we're seeing this out of these guys. It's incredible.
It's incredible. You might be right. Might be one of the great MVP races ever. Might come down right to that wire. Channing Frye's my new dude, man. We're like simpatico, how we think, as he just takes the curse storm barrage for Richard Jefferson. Phenomenal. Hey, Richard, just because you curse more doesn't mean you're right. Just want to point that out. Let's start the sport cavalcade next. UFC 299 with Jordan Sherwood on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before the tournament tips off, start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for the entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus our March Mania betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
ANG, folks, like a numbers game, like the program you're listening or watching right now.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. I don't often do this when I read tweets. In fact, I never do this, but I just want to, again, read the tweet from Jack because I just think it's awesome, where he says, regarding the Edwards games, game-saving block, defensive player of the year voters were like, quote, did you see Gobert clear the lane? For Edwards to make that block is amazing. So true, man. So true. James. James at The James Lloyd. He said, if Russ looked like a deer in headlights and on the verge of shedding tears with Sean Payton, what do you think will happen when Tomlin rips into him? Russ could possibly end the run of winning seasons for Mike. I don't know. Payton was just an awful human being from the beginning.
Well, like, he had it out for when he got there.
The first thing out of Peyton's mouth was, yeah, he should stop, like, shaking hands or, like, bitch, running for, what did he say, running for office? What did he say? Drew Brees did that, like, every day in New Orleans, he had it in for Russell.
And there's also, like, the Sean Payton stuff, I never want to go too much after Sean Payton either, because, like, he was angry with what the Broncos set up Russell Wilson to do, as far as like what he had his own office and like locker room and extra people around and stuff. Like that's a lot of the stuff he was so angry about.
Don't give Sean Payton any slack. He went after Nathaniel Hackett, like broke the code of coaches.
That was terrible. That was awful.
Again, well, how many was that? 17 Super Bowls you won, Sean Payton? Oh, one. I forgot. You're also a scab. Michael Burns report: Wilson had exploratory meeting with the Giants. You see that? Russell Wilson also met with the Giants. That makes the least sense of anything. Russell Wilson to the Giants.
I want to agree with you, but what are the Giants doing? Like, what are the Giants' short-term and long-term plans? Anybody got that idea?
Mike Alvarez, enough with the betting stuff. Let's talk commercials. Have you seen the new episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm? The references to J.G. Wentworth commercials are hilarious. I can only imagine it leads to a 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS crescendo. The J.G. Wentworth part is funny.
Oh, started watching? I still haven't started watching.
I watched the first couple episodes.
Okay, all right. That's awesome. I'm going to try to convince Gil to start a commercial review podcast with me. You think it would do? How badly do you think it would do?
What a very specific niche audience that would be. By the way, Mike Alvarez, you should know that my man who I hang out with all the time at the Pepperdine games, Wes, you may know him by Yoga Pants. For those who have listened to the podcast for many years, one of the great stories of all time, Yoga Pants. Ladies and gentlemen, UFC 299 tomorrow in Miami. And our old friend Jordan Sherwood joins us now. It's been a long time on the Progressive Guest Line. Jordan joins us from, of course, the Unnamed Podcast. How you doing, man? What's happening?
I'm good. How do you guys not reference the shouting match that Larry David had with Siri? Because we've all been there. With this recent season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm assuming Gil has, and like I know KB has. We've all been there, right?
Oh, I yell at her every day. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Here's the reason why I don't mention that particular scene, Jordan, because I thought that kind of thing was almost too forced. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't nuanced or organic enough. You could tell they made a point. Let's have a scene where Larry screams at Siri. Does that make any sense?
Commercials are make sense. Commercials are more subtle. I like that better.
All right, Jordan, again, the co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast, Wood on ESPN 1000 is where you can find him on the Twitter machine. He joins us to talk UFC 299 on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's start with the main event. Let's do it in that order. Usually we crescendo, but we'll start at the main event. Sugar, Sean O'Malley, Marlon Vera. Sean O'Malley's only defeat to Marlon Vera back in the day. But O'Malley, a big favorite here. Why, sir, will this be different?
It would be different because Sean O'Malley is not the same fighter. Sean O'Malley, I think, showed how talented he is the last time he was in the octagon when he knocked out Aljamain Sterling to become the UFC bantamweight champion. And obviously, in this sport, when you've been in the octagon with somebody before, whether it be just a few minutes like he was with Chito Vera or if he had a 25-minute war, just the experience factor in knowing what that other opponent's going to bring is a value proposition if you're backing Sugar Sean O'Malley. The thing that I'm looking at in this fight is the fact that the rumors are out there that Chito Vera did not have a good camp. Multiple sources cited that he did not look good today in the weigh-ins. He had to have everything taken off to make the championship weight. And I think Sugar Sean O'Malley has evolved as a fighter, whereas Chito Vera has kind of relatively stayed the same fighter. Good fighter, deserves to be fighting for the championship, but I think we're going to get a different result than Sugar Sean's going to be, and still the UFC bantamweight champion of the world after Saturday night is all said and done.
But you're not laying the minus 265. You're betting this a different way.
Yeah, I am. The way that I'm going to bet it is O'Malley via knockout, and there's a little bit of a risk there because Chito Vera is renowned for his chin and his durability and his toughness. But I think that the way that he fights, because Chito Vera is not a wrestler. I'm looking for a wrestler if I'm thinking about a guy that's going to defeat Sean O'Malley. Maybe the next contender in Merab Dvalishvili, but we're not there yet. Chito Vera is a guy that's going to rely on his toughness, his cardio, and dirtying up this fight. Now, if it gets to the championship rounds, we could be talking about a different story. O'Malley's never been there. There's questions about his cardio, and he's certainly got those frail legs that Chito Vera is going to look to expose. But I think the value is that Chito Vera's defense is susceptible. O'Malley is a sniper, and I think via knockout at plus 260, plus 265, that's the value I'm hunting for, and that's what I'm likely going to play on Saturday night.
All right, Jordan, I know you don't have a bet in the co-main, but I want to ask you about it. Dustin Poirier, who we're all familiar with, been around forever, 35 years old now, probably best known to the casual fan from the two defeats that he had of Conor McGregor. Going up against Benoit Saint-Denis here, Poirier, big dog. You're not playing this?
Yeah, if it's continuing the trend that the way it is, I'm eventually going to. I mean, you're never going to see Dustin Poirier at plus 180 like where he is right now. I mean, we're talking about one of the best fighters of all time, former champion, been in there with everybody, the who's who, not just Conor McGregor of the lightweight division. But there's a little bit of recency bias. He's coming off that brutal head kick knockout against Justin Gaethje in the BMF fight, a fight that he was winning. And Benoit Saint-Denis is a killer. I mean, this guy is surging, meteoric rise, six-fight win streak. All of them, or I think five or six of them, via finish. So there's just a worrisome factor about is Dustin Poirier war after war. I mean, he's been in so many big-time fights and five rounds, just wars against the top-tier talent. It's too risky right now. If it stays there or maybe it values up a little bit more, then yes, you have to play Dustin Poirier. But I'm on the side of a finish. I don't think we're getting five rounds of great fight. I think one of the guys is going to be able to finish the other. Either Dustin Poirier is not the same fighter, and he's seen his better days are in his past, and Saint-Denis is going to find the finish, or this step up in competition is just way too much for Saint-Denis to handle, and Dustin Poirier is going to expose him and showcase once again why he's just so talented as a fighter.
Yeah, this card is awesome. A lot of these names familiar for those of us who were all about this sport during the pandemic. Gilbert Burns is on this card. You are making a play on Peter Yan, speaking of that.
Yeah, I can't fathom that this guy's going to lose four fights in a row, and it happens, but he's just so talented of a fighter all around, been in the championship fight, probably would be the champion if he didn't illegally knee Aljamain Sterling a few years ago. And I get the Song Yadong, his power. He comes from a great camp, Team Alpha Male. That's where Uriah Faber's the head coach, and they've had champions out of that gym. And the question marks about his cardio have been answered because he's gone five rounds and finished guys in championship rounds. But I just think the all-around overall game of Peter Yan is finally going to show up, and he's going to have his hand raised. So I think that, he's not going to be threatened by Yadong's power. And he's going to get out to an early lead and showcase how talented of a fighter he is. I mean, it's a virtual pick'em, so I understand people on the side of Yadong and why they like him. But I just think that Peter Yan is just too talented of a fighter to have four losses in a row on his career record.
All right. We got about 45 seconds, Jordan. You do have the preliminary card and, of course, the early prelims. What's your favorite play among all of those?
It's Curtis Blaydes in the prelim feature against Jelton Almeida. I want Jelton Almeida to be special. He's a guy who can fight in two divisions, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, black belt. But I just think Curtis Blaydes could be too much to handle. He's been in there with the best of the heavyweights. Almeida relies on being able to kind of manhandle fighters. He's not going to be able to do it against Curtis Blaydes. Blaydes is better on the feet, and I think he gets his hand raised, likely via decision. So Blaydes on the money line, certainly a good play.
Jordan, appreciate it. Great talking to you, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And Jordan with some Curb Your Enthusiasm knowledge as well.
There you go.
There as well. Appreciate that. Again, the unnamed MMA podcast for Jordan if you want to check it out. And Kelly will put all these plays, every play from every guest on the show today, and in fact, every guest from every show at VSiN, at VSiN.com/picks. I'll have my tennis plays coming up a little later on as well. Chris Felica joins us next. College hoops, soccer, the Academy Awards. What else can we extract from him? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. If your first bet loses, download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. My instinct is to always go to read some tweets because this show has the best listeners that have ever existed in the history of radio and television, I believe. But we have too many things to get to with the Bear, El Oso, Chris Velika, the host of the Bear Bets Pod. He comes to us live on the Progressive Guest Line from his lair somewhere in Connecticut. How you doing? The svelte Chris Velika. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. The sun is out today in Connecticut. We had a dreary week of like rain and gray and it was miserable, but it's beautiful out right now. So I'm in good spirits.
You're never moving from Connecticut, are you? It's just the lure of Connecticut.
I will be moving from Connecticut. I can promise that. It's funny because not to take up too much of the time, but I can remember like during the, like when I got back from Australia, my wife and I went over to Newport, just like we'll walk along the coast for the day. Cause she loved my pictures from walking along the Australian coast. So we got talking and then like out of nowhere, she's like, so where do you want to retire to? So those conversations have been had, and probably those conversations are going to lead to us somewhere abroad.
Abroad? Oh, okay. We'll post odds on that. Abroad will be
exactly.
Will be installed as the favorite because you can't bet on perfect. Something unless you install it.
No,
Portugal.
Exactly.
All right. Let us start with horses. What do you got for the horse crowd out there?
Well, we got a good card tomorrow with Tampa Bay Downs. It's kind of their big day. The Tampa Bay Derby is their big race for 3-year-old colts on the Derby Trail, and there is a big favorite in the race. Well, no more time and domestic product are good for a second choice, but I think if you look a little bit further down the board at Good Money, the number 4 horse, Broke Maiden at Tampa from the rail at 7 furlongs. Like for those who like Samich, right? Samich knows what I'm talking about. Like for a horse first time out to draw the rail at 7 furlongs and win is pretty impressive. Now, a lot of times these horses, you have to be pretty special to win right back. But I think Good Money for Chad Brown and Arad Ortiz Jr. Riding for Chad, which is a tell, at 15-1, that is worth a play. That's race 11 tomorrow, the number 4 horse, Good Money. And then in the race just prior to that, which is the the Florida Oaks at Tampa on the turf, the number 7 horse, Style Points, is a horse that I love in here. I love the sire Oscar performance. The Brumaire sire, Go Sapper, one of the great horses. Christophe Clement, his horses win at a very high percentage at Tampa. And I love the pattern of this horse. It was a beaten favorite first time out to another horse in the race, Dynamic Pricing, who beat Sal Points. Next race out, Broke Baited in a nice price. And then they Clement threw into a stakes race, Sweet Chant at Gulfstream, and just missed against a horse named Life's Inaudible, who is a very highly thought of horse at Gulfstream. And now this is her second start against winners. She's 5-1. I'm not sure we're going to get 5-1, but if she's still anything in the 3-1, 7-2 range, she's worth the place. The number 7 horse, Style Points in the Tampa Oaks.
What was the price that you gave out to Numbers Game listeners last week that cashed? What was the number on it?
It was 9-2 on the morning line and got bet down a little bit to like 4-1, 7-2.
All right.
Another Christophe Clement horse, by the way.
Yes. That's why I bring it up. Okay. Soccer. What do you like?
Obviously my allegiance is for Liverpool on Sunday. So I don't have something that I really love. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think both teams to score is probably the way to go, in that game, because look, it's Manchester City's last opportunity to know that they fully control their destiny to win the Premier League. Like if they get a draw tomorrow, they're relying on someone else to cause Liverpool to drop some points. So they're going to have to go on the road and press. And if Ibu Konate, who potentially suffered an injury yesterday in the Europa League in Prague, if he can't go, that kind of hurts Liverpool's back line some. But this feels like a both teams to score. But I know it's like minus 220 or something like that. It's juiced through the roof. So like, if you want to put down an official play at a better price, you can put down Arsenal minus 1.5 against Brentford. If you go back though, over Arsenal's last, however many Premier League matches, 6-0, 4-1, 5-0, 6-0, 3-1, 2-1, 5-0. Like, they have been absolutely destroying people in the Prem because they know they needed to make up a goal differential potentially against City or Liverpool if they wind up tied at the end of the season. So Brentford's a team that's kind of in disarray right now. So Arsenal minus the 1.5 at home against Brentford tomorrow, would, I guess you could put down as the official play. I think that's around minus 150 or so.
Yeah, Liverpool, Man City, the biggest sporting event in the world this weekend. Paul Carr will be on later. I'm not sure if he has a play in it either, by the way. Team's separated by 1 point at the top of the Premier League table with 11 games to go this year.
I got enough Liverpool at plus 750 or so that I'm all in at this point. So we know my allegiances, and I'm hopeful that they can get the win.
All right, let's go to college hoops. What do you got there?
I don't have really anything in the conference tournaments, but I have been looking like at teams that I'm going to want to bet on, or maybe like once the bracket comes out, teams that I want to focus on. And like, I've never been the biggest Gonzaga guy, but this year they're the kind of been a little bit dismissed, I think, a little too early. I mean, this is a team that lost twice in the West Coast Conference, by 2 and by 1. And then they went to St. Mary's last week and annihilated St. Mary's. They got a win at Kentucky, and people are talking about them like they're like 10-6 in the West Coast Conference. Like they're an afterthought. And like, I've seen them projected to be like a 10 seed in the tournament. Like, I would love to get a good price on them to maybe reach the Sweet 16. I mean, I'm sure they'll potentially be a dog in the second round, obviously, but maybe the first round as well. So maybe just the money line might be the way to do it. But I'd like to see what type of odds I can get on Gonzaga to reach the Sweet 16. I'm sure it'll be a good price. And I've seen a plus 1,900 to be in the Final Four, which I don't know if I'd go that far. But Gonzaga, I think, is a team that for the first time this year, I feel like they – look, this is how they made their run. Like, they were the double-digit seed that made the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and pulled upset. So the pressure might be off Mark Few a little bit this year and kind of a free roll.
Boy, what was that, like late 90s when we, the Gonzaga team you characterized right there was like the late 90s version of Gonzaga when no one expected anything from them. I did ask Kai McKeon from Three Man Weave earlier this week. I was like, okay, give me a team in college hoops that you feel has the widest outcomes, you know, variance of outcomes come tournament time. And the first team out of his mouth was Gonzaga. So your point. First of all, how dare you miss that, by the way. Okay.
Well, I thought it was going to be Jim. I thought Jim was on. I get Jim and Kai confused.
Jim is too busy working for U.S. Integrity now. So
I feel good about that, by the way. Actually, to be on the wrong side of a rigged game, because I had Temple last night when it hit 8. I'm like, why the hell does this game hit 8? And to be on the wrong side of a rigged game, I feel like I accomplished something last night.
That's such a great nuanced betting that I feel great. I was on the wrong side of a possibly rigged game. All right, 96th Academy Awards on Sunday night. You, sir, have some thoughts as well on this.
I didn't go full tuxedo like Brian Ortega did yesterday. And I actually did play his adapted screenplay, American Fiction. I found some places to get down on this as well. But if you look at the best visual effects, Godzilla Minus One, I played this a few weeks back. It was like minus 105, 110. Like, it was bouncing back and forth. And I noticed yesterday it was like minus 250 in some spots. So kind of along like his theory with American Fiction adapted screenplay, like Godzilla Minus One is taking some pretty good money. And obviously the director, Junki Yamasaki, is someone who is known in the film world for his special effects and visuals. And obviously Japan finances a lot of these types of movies. So I'm just kind of reading, putting dots together. I have not seen this movie, of a full disclosure, but I'm just kind of following the market here and kind of following the trail and listening to some smart people. So I think Godzilla Minus One for best visual effects is still at a minus 250 or so, whatever it is now, I would lay that.
How many films of this bunch? Because for me, I saw Barbie, and that's it. How many of you
seen? I saw Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I saw Oppenheimer, and I saw the Holdovers. I love the Holdovers, and I would love to see Paul Giamatti.
Me too.
I would love to see Paul Giamatti win an actor. It's another detention for those who have seen the film. I would suggest. But and then on a flight home from Turks, Molly actually watched Barbie next to me, and I kind of was peeking over her now, and then obviously didn't have any audio. But she enjoyed it. It was entertaining, so I don't certainly think it's going to be in the mix for best movie. But
hey, man, Margot Robbie's Margot Robbie. That's all I got to say.
Exactly right.
Paul Giamatti, by the way, Pig Vomit and John Adams. Like the greatest roles, and so different, but so awesome. Chris, thank you. We covered it all. Appreciate that.
I think I'm gonna have to go listen to some Howard Stern right now in honor of Pig Vomit.
Well, don't do that because Al Bernstein's next. Al Bernstein on boxing.
We're in.
The Hall of Famer. And my tennis picks as we try to hit every sport in the universe. Lebatard next on DK. We're coming back at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.